Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Mr. Rob Sanders, our fabulous producer, doing a super job. We appreciate him taking good care of us all the time. You can see him all over Northumberland making sure that young Dixie's well taken care of and led all over, and they both get a ton of exercise, and they're both looking fabulous. Rob lost a couple of 2, 3, 4 pounds and is in fabulous shape. Dog's looking 48. Good. 48 pounds. Wow. Holy smokes.
I found him.
Joe finds.
I didn't mean to send him your way. Sorry about that.
And I already owned him, so I've made no gains and no losses. So, yeah, I'm already chubby. So, all right. So that is Rob Center, but he does it, just everything he touches ends up in superlative care. So we appreciate that. On the other side of the table from me, figuratively and literally, is Mr. Joe McGranahan, occasional cat bird. He is chair of the CSVT Task Force. He's the state's strongest advocate for radar for local municipalities. He wants to make sure that Pennsylvania gets a lot of extra revenue for no reason, so therefore he's going to try to make that happen in the House, right? It's done in the Senate, and now it's in the House, right?
I refuse to dignify your mischaracterization of my position by responding to it.
Right, yeah. Local municipalities won't get that much revenue from it. In fact, I think there's a cap element, right?
There is.
Okay, so once they make a couple of $2,000-$3,000, that's the end of that. They can't make more. But the state can keep reeling it in, so that's why the state really wants it. It's another revenue source on the backs of ours.
And the largest proponent is the president of the Pennsylvania State Mayors Association, Mayor Jim Nowak.
All right, and you're vice president, right?
I'm a vice president. Several.
Oh, okay.
For the center, one for the east, one for the west.
Oh, okay. And you're the center?
I got the center.
Well, that's strange.
Why?
Because you're nowhere near the center politically. Ultra-conservative, but a natural-born listener. He will listen and then dismiss summarily anything you say. So that is Joe's...
Another mischaracterization of my opinions.
Okay. Well, I don't call you strikingly handsome or anything like that. That's
no one has
true.
Ever called me that. I've had people tell me I look like I've been struck.
Or it's a good thing you got into radio, right?
Yeah, I've been told I have a face for radio many times.
All right. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. If you have an opinion about something, we do not have any emails pending, so we would just love to read your email if you want to send it in. You can also text us at 70236 for Text Connect members. Just reply to a previous message or text us a new one at 70236. If you're not signed up for Text Connect, you can do so at WKOK.com. We send you no more than a dozen or so messages a month. That's an opportunity for you to receive breaking national or local news, tornadic weather, dead celebrities, closed roads, that kind of information directly to your cell phone. We do not sell the list. We've turned down the offer for 3 peanut butter pies and what was the other one? A coconut cream, right?
Lemon sponge.
Okay. Well, no wonder we turned that down.
Wait a second. Maybe you want another pie?
Include coconut cream and we'll converse.
Coconut cream.
All right, we'll converse. But other than that, we do not sell the list. We don't use it for anything else. It's just us letting you know about Text Connect. Although on my birthday last week, I got a Text Connect message saying happy birthday, so the device apparently knows when your birthday is. Well, I guess I probably told it, but so they send you a little greeting a couple weeks ago, so that was fun to receive. Speaking of Text Connect, one of our good listeners sent us a note. We were talking about President Trump lamenting the fact that he knew many of the individuals who died in the World Trade Center collapse on 9/11. One of our listeners said, no, that's preposterous. He didn't know anybody there.
But never was there, didn't go downtown to help out.
Right, where the president claims that he was, you know, certainly just, I guess, present there. But one of our listeners says whoever claims that that statement by the president is not true should know this.
They say the email that said that Trump was lying about knowing people in the Twin Towers or being on the ground at Ground Zero was a disgrace. How does this person know whether Trump knew people there or not or helped at Ground Zero? Is this person a mind reader?
Well, and President Trump should have
just
to.
Another sufferer of TDS.
In that version. The president, you would just think law of averages would have to know many people that were there and perished and so on, because that's the financial district. So you would think a billionaire would know something about Manhattan.
Yeah, I would think so. As to whether he went down there and helped clear the rubble.
Well, no, he doesn't claim
that. I doubt
that
he did that.
No.
But he may well have been down there to lend support.
He may have probably knew quite a few people that were involved, probably some that perished that day.
Let's face it, whether you like it or not, it almost became a rite of passage for every political person to show up at Ground Zero at some point.
Really?
To express concern and to express solidarity with those who are working so hard to clean it up.
I never really noted that. I know we saw, President Bush there and the mayor at that time. But other than that, I don't remember other folks going there.
The governor was there. The senators were there. Congressmen were there.
Okay. I guess I didn't pay any attention. I automatically dismissed it as unimportant and didn't pay much attention.
I think in a
attention.
Time like that, it's great that they do show up, that they express concern and support and solidarity with those people who are working under very difficult situations. Finally, they did the right thing and extended the coverage for the fund to support those people who have become ill as the result of their participation in the 9/11 cleanup effort. Congress finally did that last week with Rand Paul, who's becoming something of an idiot like his father. Forgive me. There are people who love Ron Paul. I think Rand is a little off the wall sometimes.
He's erratic.
Well, that erratic, it's certainly a describer, an adjective that fits. But, you know, I think that President Trump certainly cared about it. Any New Yorker would have cared about that. Any New Yorker would have been touched by it. Any New Yorker would have been devastated by it.
One of our listeners says the president most certainly did know people there. It's one of the few times he's told the truth. So there. How about that?
That's called damning by faint praise.
Okay, thank you. It's one of those rare occasions.
He told the truth about that.
Right, one of the rare.
The president announced this morning that today is Wednesday. Democrats were amazed.
We're enjoying open phones. We can talk about anything of...
Did you watch the debate?
I did. I saw the first hour, and I fell asleep only because it's my bedtime, not because it was boring.
Well, I think actually you have the entire cast of characters there of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. You have Grumpy. Now, who do you think Grumpy was?
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders,
okay.
Right? Happy.
I don't know.
Pete Buttigieg. I would put him in Happy.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's okay. I'll go with it.
Sleepy, Beto O'Rourke, who almost had to be poked out of his stupor.
Yeah, what happened? I thought he was going to emerge at this debate.
Bashful, I'm having a little trouble with.
Probably the woman. She only did a nice opening statement. That was about it. What's her name?
Elizabeth Warren?
No, the obscure woman, the one that's...
Oh, the one...
She's like a journalist or something.
The book writer.
Yes, yeah. yes, the author.
Yeah, she was the most... it's terrible. I don't have her name here in this, and I don't remember it, but she was the one who was most Googled last night.
Oh, really? To see what she's all about.
She had some comment about the dark side of the universe or something going on there. So we have Sneezy. Dopey. Who do you think Dopey is?
I can't think of it. Who it would be?
No, I'm going to spare you that.
Okay.
How about Doc?
I don't know. You just tell me who these characters are.
Well, who is the Wicked Witch? That's obviously
Elizabeth Warren, right? Okay. Well, that's fine. She's Native American. It would not be a witch. It would be a medicine woman.
Well, no, she's only 1,024th Native
apparently
American.
Apparently, that's sufficient.
And I'm not going to call her Pocahontas because I get in trouble when I do that.
Well, as you should, but anyway.
But I thought it was interesting. I thought they, I was looking this morning at both CNN and MSNBC, CNN and Fox's assessment of the winners. And they felt the winners were Bernie Sanders, CNN did, felt Bernie Sanders clearly got his message out and that he wasn't lively or active enough in the first debate of the cycle. He came out feisty and stayed that way. He was throwing his arms up in the air when someone questioned him, John Delaney questioned him about the health care plan, and that's where I thought he looked like grumpy. He's throwing his hands up in the air and yelling at him. I think Steve Bullock did very well last night. The Montana governor, to his immense credit, understood that this debate was his one big chance to make an impression with voters and move from the third tier upward. Pete Buttigieg had a good night. As in the first debate, the South Bend, Indiana mayor played it relatively safe, but unlike the first debate, there was a clear message. And they, CNN thinks his message was, I am young, yes, but the older people on stage with me haven't fixed any of these problems. And John Delaney did well last night, according to CNN. Before this debate, no one knew who Delaney was or what he believed. If you watched the debate, both of those questions were answered, and according to CNN. Now, who are the losers? Did you have a particular one you thought was a loser?
The losers last night? Well, the author comes off as a little... Marianne Williamson comes off as a little flaky throughout some of these last night. Andrew Yang, did we hear from him last night?
Well, they also thought Elizabeth Warren won, but they had her down as also losing. I said, yes, she made both lists. She had moments without question, but Sanders seemed to better and more strongly articulate the liberal positions that defined both their campaigns repeatedly. Beto O'Rourke, the former Texas congressman, needed a good debate, a much better one than last month. While he was mildly more energetic than in the first debate, his answer on Trump's alleged weaponization of race was O'Rourke's best moment in either debate. They thought Amy Klobuchar lost as well. So I guess the others were just kind of there.
Well, Pete Buttigieg did fine. I'm putting the list in front of us so we can see it.
The people who were there last night. Tonight's the big night, I guess, because the vice president, former vice president, will be on the stage. But is this tonight or last night?
That's the first debate. I got the wrong one. Sorry.
No, that's the one we were talking about, weren't we?
No.
Oh, okay.
But at any rate, okay, so who are the winners and losers? We'd like people's opinion.
Or do you care?
Well, it was interesting. I tell you what did come out is some of them look presidential, and so I think that is noteworthy. You know, some of them look as though if some strange twist of fate, they become the nominee, and if some strange twist of fate, they beat the president, that they could talk and act and behave presidentially. And it becomes clear that some of the more obscure candidates would not be able to do so. So, well, I'd love your opinion about this, and Joe and I will continue to share our views on this, but we'll take more comers. Call us now. Who won last night? Who lost? Who surprised you? Who's being Googled the most in your view or by you? And give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Call it now. All four lines are open, so you won't be waiting too long. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com or text us at 70236.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Yes, but I guess too small for me to read. Oh, boy.
And it's not going to get any bigger on this screen.
We're in trouble here. All right, welcome back, everybody. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. From the newsroom, they are telling us that there's a disabled tractor trailer blocking Route 45 west into Lewisburg. Route 45 and 405 are backed up. A tow truck is en route. So we have a disabled tractor trailer blocking Route 45 west into Lewisburg. And so that would be probably near the Lewisburg Bridge, I'm assuming, with Route 45 and 405 backed up. So watch for a tow truck heading to that scene. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We do not have anybody who wishes to take our candidates to the task.
No, but we do have someone who takes you to task today. Mm-hmm. One of our listeners says, how is it, Mark, you feel justified in critiquing? And so you've taken it off the screen, so I can't read it.
I'm sorry. I was just doing my own thing.
Right.
So you're saying we're in this together?
Right. I need the part of the screen that had the message in it, and now you've destroyed it completely.
In our computer. All right. So anyway, the listener calls attention to my hypocrisy for saying
I got it.
Okay, there
it is. How is it you feel justified, Mark, in critiquing anyone for calling Senator Warren Pocahontas, but you give yourself a pass and call her a medicine woman? You have a serious blind spot for hypocrisy.
Yeah, I think our listener got me on that one. I think the word medicine woman would be better if... well, never mind. Enough about that. Yes, thank you. Noted. Appreciate that. Thank you for the email.
I think what's going to be interesting is that the next debate is going to have much higher criteria to appear on the stage. So some of this chaff is going to fall by the wayside, if you will. And I think that's probably a good thing, because some of these people at this point, I'm surprised they must have hung on just to get national attention. They're not going anywhere in the polls. They're not doing particularly well raising money.
It's surprising to see them on the stage.
Right. There are about five or six people who deserve to be up there, you know, total. But I think some of these minor candidates, whether they're hanging in hoping for a vice presidential nod or something like that, or just hoping for name recognition for some future race in their home states, that seems more likely to me than the fact that they have serious beliefs they can survive this and become president of the United States.
Has anybody among the presidents that we've had in recent memory come from total obscurity?
Yeah, Donald Trump.
Okay. Well, yes.
Political obscurity,
so
if you will.
That is why Michael Bennett is still in it. And, that's the right one. Okay, but I have it backwards. Yeah, that's why Jay Inslee's still in it.
Well, we used to have in this country political backroom deals that led to the nomination. Warren G. Harding is a case in point. There were other people who were much further ahead in the polls. Even Ike Eisenhower was an example of what you're talking about. He was recruited by both the Democrats and the Republicans, and up until the point he was nominated, had seldom expressed any political views at all.
Okay.
You know, but he won World War II and saved Europe for democracy, if you will.
But other than that.
But other than that, right.
Yeah, it was relatively unknown.
But I think, you know, when we pare this down, I think is who the Democratic top five wind up being. And whether or not they represent the conservative, or not the conservative, I don't think there is such a thing as a conservative Democrat anymore, but the moderate wing of the Democratic Party and the liberal wing of the Democratic Party. Whether the Warrens and the Bernie Sanders can take control of the party and push it even further to the left. What surprised me last night about what I did see was that many of them are arguing not in favor of Medicare for All, they realized that that would represent taking away plans that many people like, that are employer-provided plans. They're talking more about strengthening and redoing Obamacare. And at this point, in the absence of the Republicans coming up with anything better, that makes more sense to me than just about anything else. Because despite all of his plans and promises, Donald Trump has not espoused any real health plan for America. He's pecked away, if you will, at Obamacare and tried to do everything he could
to
dismantle
it. Right.
But the Republicans have not offered to me a viable alternative. And, you know, I guess we have, we didn't mention, but we have Congressman Fred Keller joining us at 9:30 this morning. I'd be interested in hearing from Fred whether or not he sees any Republican plans for health care down there that have any real chance of being floated or at least discussed.
Or what's his reaction when he hears the Medicaid for All being talked about by half the candidates?
Medicare
for all, half the people last night.
Well, I think many of them were talking about it, but only Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders really came out and supported it. And, of course, Elizabeth Warren really came I guess, very strongly to the defense of Bernie Sanders. A couple of times they tried to get the two of them to goad each other, but they wouldn't take the bait. They're pretty much on the same page, the two of them. Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, certainly, I think, are the most liberal of the candidates on the Democratic platform.
One of our listeners says, always pay attention to the obscure candidates. Jimmy Carter, the most famous of an obscure candidate who became president.
Well, yeah, and you could say the same about Bill Clinton, governor of Arkansas and governor of Georgia. That's pretty obscure. You know, we do occasionally pick them, but more often than not, it's somebody more mainstream. In Donald Trump's case, I think he benefited from the fact that he was the one unique candidate in a field of very much look-alike Republicans. The Democrats don't have that. They have several of each type up there on the stage.
Yeah, they got one of each. It's like a bouquet.
It's like Noah's Ark. You know, we got two of each. We got two wild-eyed liberals. We got two.
Two idealists, two grumpies. But they only have one of each. One wide-eyed author and... one famous senator who's ultra-liberal and grumpy.
Well, I will be waiting very excitedly to see the results from tonight. I would think after that, you know, the Democratic fundraising pretty much will determine who moves on and who goes home.
Well, we don't actually have anybody casting any ballots to what?
Next year. Well, this year.
January?
Yeah, till next year.
Yeah, we're months and months away, you know.
It used to be we got a break. After the midterm elections, we'd have almost a year off before we started hearing politics again. But I will say one thing for Donald Trump. He has certainly energized the political process in this country, whether you like it or not.
Well, I think divisive leaders have done that previously. You know, George W. Bush did the same thing. Had people saying, oh, my gosh, he's terrible. I can't, you know, and a lot of people said, I can't wait to run against him. And I'm running. I'm in. I've been, you know, different people campaigning, you know, for 4 years. Waiting to get their chance against George W. I don't think his father garnered that kind of opposition.
Well, he did. He lost.
Bill Clinton didn't. Well, but I don't think people really campaigned until about 2 years out, as opposed to, you know, Fred Trump.
Fred Donald, Trump.
Yeah, there we go again. Donald Trump's opposition has been talked about, you know, since before the swearing in of the president. So more people are lining up against it because they oppose him. And that was probably due for George W. Bush, because a lot of liberal people said, you know, he's hurting us in different kind of ways.
But do we become a divisive element in this country if we disagree with a people? In other words, if I disagree with you, am I being divisive? Or are you being divisive if you disagree with me?
Well, I think it's how it's characterized. You know, you and I know how to have a civil discussion about important topics and express our views, and I kind of know where you're coming from. I don't know how you help the nation if you describe one of your opponent's congressional district as being filthy and rat-infested.
Even if it is?
Even if a small portion of it is, yes. I mean, so you're saying the Inner Harbor and the Johns Hopkins campus and Ellicott City. Okay. So
I love Baltimore's Inner Harbor.
So I think just because you know that something is true, Joe, I could say you're homely and bald and short and overweight.
Well, I'm not short, and I'm not overweight.
Okay. Well, but
I am, however, bald.
But let's suppose those statements were true. Is that how you characterize somebody when you are talking about them in public? Besides, whatever happened to being presidential? Remember when the president would be dignified? Why is that so terrible? So, yes, I think it does divide us the way that our discourse is. You know, you and I, you have a lunch crowd that occasionally has a liberal present.
Not for a while now.
Oh, well, okay, so you drove him away. You drove him out of state.
He went to Florida,
okay,
right?
You drove him out of state. Well, okay, but when he was there, did you say that he was filthy, rat-infested? You know, pick out whatever you think.
No, he wasn't. He was a very clean person.
Okay, so...
But that doesn't mean... When you argue someone about their ideas as opposed to personalities or persons. He didn't say Elijah Cummings was dirty and rat-infested. He said the district he represents had those qualities. And to a large extent, like it or not, he spoke the truth. So if you have an unpleasant situation, what do you do? Do you deal with it head-on, or do you go around, nibble at the edges of it, and hope that somebody will pick up the inference you're trying to make? Say, well, I was in Baltimore once, and I saw a rather large mouse. Well, that's different than saying the place is rat infested.
And filthy.
But
and nobody
parts,
would
parts
live
of
there.
It are. And I think it's a valid point. We've spent billions of dollars trying to improve conditions in inner cities, and they're not improving. Baltimore and Chicago have murder rates that are enough to scare anybody, and you can't blame it all on gun control, lack of gun control, because they have pretty tough gun regulations.
So if I'm sensitive and I hear that and I cringe, it's just me being a snowflake, that you should pick out the worst thing about people or places, use that as their descriptor when you talk about them, because it's true.
Well, he didn't make any comment about the people. He argued that the people being forced to live in those conditions are the victims.
Well, he said no.
The victims of the politicians who are failing to solve the problems.
Right, and he said no human being would want to live there. So what does that, that makes you non-human if you've been there your whole life. So you think that's not personal to the people? If I say to you, Joe, you know, Joe's the head of the CSVT task force, he's non-human, and he is the mayor of Shamokin Dam.
Okay, but that's not a very good analogy. Let me give you this one instead.
I think because it's spot on,
if you
don't
came,
like it.
If you went to the people who live there and said, look, you live in Baltimore, Maryland, in a rather bad neighborhood, would you rather live somewhere else? Okay. And they said, yes, I would rather live somewhere else, but I can't afford to, or I can't, you know, physically make the move. That's what he's saying. He's saying that those people, given the choice, probably would want to live in better circumstances. And unless you happen to be an idiot, I think he's right.
Divisiveness rocks. So we're going to keep that conversation going. We do have Fred Keller coming in about 30 minutes from now, so we'll get to talk to him, the U.S. congressman. And we're going to keep talking about Donald John Trump as he continues to get this country torn apart. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. Overweight, bald, very short, homely.
None of those things.
Oh.
Except bald.
Really? Okay. So if I say something that's partially true, it's okay if I divide the whole nation. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotor.com.
When did you get that big wart in the end of your nose?
When?
Yeah.
Tuesday.
Okay. Well, it's disfiguring. You know that, don't you?
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Our toll-free line is open. Call us at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Let's talk about the Sunbury Motor Company a little bit and what you can do online. At sunburymotors.com, you can do all your research as it relates to the particular vehicles they have. They have hundreds of pre-owned vehicles that are ready to go. I've been through a 200-point check and are in fabulous condition, cleaned up and in super condition, and all the photographs are there, the mileage, Carfax, you name it, so you can check all that out. You can check out their online specials. If you don't see what you want in either a new or a pre-owned vehicle, almost impossible that that would happen, but if it does, then you can start the process of building a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specifications. You can click on the particular accoutrements that you want. Joe still fancies himself a pickup truck driver, so we can get a Lincoln Navigator pickup truck with the sunroof and
no,
double
I just
roses.
Want the regular Lincoln Navigator, if you don't
oh,
mind.
Oh, you want it enclosed? You're going to haul a pickup truck?
No, no,
haul
I,
a trailer?
I want the Navigator. Oh, I want okay. The luxury.
All right, enclosed. Yes, he wants a larger SUV, and guess what? They get great gas mileage. Joe is very concerned about
mileage. Oh, to heck with that.
Right, I figured. Okay, thank you. But it certainly is going to be a nice ride, and Joe knows how to do that, so that's what he'll do. But I personally will pick out a Ford Ranger, the Raptor edition, and that'll be coming out soon. And Rob will want a new Hyundai minivan that'll be able to haul he and the whole crew around. And Mr. McCatrilla, we're going to buy him a Kia. He's in a family way, too, so we're going to make sure that he gets an opportunity to cruise around in style in the Kia Telluride. Just a fabulous SUV, all-wheel drive, so he can get to work in the winter.
Usually that term is applied to the female member of the family, not the male member.
Oh, yeah, well, Matt's
in
not
a family family way. Matt isn't personally in a family way.
No, he's not Prager's. But his lovely bride is.
Yes,
so
right.
Now the word's out. So, but in any event, all the way back to the Sunbury Motor Company, you can't find out
now
anything about...
Now that we thoroughly embarrassed Matt.
We can't find out anything about any of those details at SunburyMotors.com. But you can find out a lot of other important things at SunburyMotors.com, including, like, where's your next vehicle coming from? We do have a slowdown in Montana, just off the Lewisburg Bridge at the intersection of 45 and 405, a disabled tractor-trailer there. Somebody busted a drive shaft trying to climb up that little hill, and so that's gumming up traffic, so be aware of that. Dozens of volunteer firefighters converged back on North Franklin Street in Shamokin at the scene of that deadly house fire. It was involved again today. They put out the fire quickly, starting around 1:30 a.m. No injuries this morning. Yesterday, 23-year-old Bria Scandal was killed in that fire. Time to address some of the big issues in Pennsylvania. State Representative Linda Slagle-Culver is on the new GOP task force that's looking at key infrastructure issues.
We hear from businesses a lot of times. The infrastructure's not here. We hear sometimes it's difficult to travel here. We hear, you know, we're not maintaining roads as well. We hear complaints about when there is construction, the detour route. We have the issue with the Turnpike Commission hanging over our heads, people wanting to toll certain roads, and the issue with the state police. We've always given money out of the budget for the state police because they do manage and patrol our highways. The Constitution allows us to pay them. It's just it was incrementally going up every year, and we're not sure it was the right increment.
She's reaching out to people in the Valley who are well informed on the infrastructure issues locally. Things have never been especially cozy between President Donald Trump, his political supporters, and the mainstream news media, but the latest skirmish among those parties seems particularly heated. Yesterday, President Trump went after the MSNBC show Morning Joe on Twitter. Joe sees almost 20 minutes of Morning Joe. Joe's the other Morning Joe, but the original Morning Joe on MSNBC. After being asked by a reporter about a Washington Post column that called the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell a Russian asset, Trump said Post officials ought to be ashamed and should apologize. When Morning Joe host Joe Scarborough picked up the thread and called McConnell Moscow Mitch, McConnell took umbrage, speaking out on the Senate floor. Later, President Trump defended McConnell while speaking to reporters outside the White House. Meantime, Scarborough delivered a 10-minute essay on his show about Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings, who's been targeted by Trump as presiding over a failing district. In turn, Trump crowed that the Morning Joe ratings have crashed because people are tired of hearing fake news delivered with an anger that is not to be believed. See, you didn't even know that whole fight was going on.
Oh, I did. I read the story.
No, I'm talking to our listeners.
Oh, okay.
Other than Joe. Yeah, Joe likes Morning Joe for a very short time
I
every
think
day.
He is absolutely one of the meanest people I've ever seen on television. But I find it ironic President Trump, who creates nicknames for almost everybody, find a problem with Morning Joe creating a nickname for somebody else.
That's not right. And finally, Wilson Cruz, a co-star...
Excuse me. You all right there?
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. Wilson Cruz, a co-star in the new Hulu animated children's series, The Bravest Knight, describes the show's dad couple this way. We're not explaining homosexuality or same-gender sexuality. We're talking about the love of a family, unquote. His words and those of his fellow Hulu father, T.R. Knight, speak loudly about the state of LGBTQ representation in TV programming for kids. It's a segment of the media that's been broadening storylines over the last several years to include a range of non-straight characters. It's these parents that love her and care about her. That's it, Knight told the Associated Press in a recent interview with Cruz, referring to their cartoon daughter, Nia, a brave knight in training. Seeing same-sex parents, gay marriage, and general expressions of romantic, non-binary affection is something the 46-year-old Knight wishes he had been exposed to growing up in Minneapolis. You feel starved, you feel lonely, and that expression and that loneliness and ain't healthy, he said. Based on the 2014 book by Daniel Errico, the show comes soon after the long-running Arthur series on PBS featured a same-sex wedding for the first time, facing a ban in Alabama in the process. They didn't want any same-sex weddings on a PBS show. and in a children's show. And in June, Hasbro created My Little Pony series on Disney, showed its first lesbian couple who care for a young pony. And, quote, "We have featured many types of families in the show over the past 9 seasons, and we hope this helps provide kids and fans from all backgrounds an opportunity to identify with our characters and to learn from their stories," says Hasbro spokeswoman Julie Duffy. Whatever happened to Hasbro? Just making toys. Now they're involved in it. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Yeah, I know. Who was it? Oh, the President Trump administration wanted National Arts Endowment money pulled from PBS when they started to show this particular episode. And I think some markets pulled the funding, or pulled the show, so they wouldn't lose their funding.
Doesn't it seem somewhat confusing for young people to be given more information than they can handle at the age they find themselves at?
Absolutely not. I think the world is full of too much information for kids. They slowly take it all in. And no child at age 3, 4, or 5 is expected to know everything. So you slowly introduce the realities of the world and they learn it. Nobody taught you every word you know today when you were 5 and or said, well, we have to protect him from most of the vocabulary.
Well,
He'll never catch on.
That's not exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how you process that information and whether it's presented to you as something that's good, normal, and beneficial, or something that's less so, or something that they just present it and let you draw your own conclusions, or allow you to formulate questions that you may want to ask about the situation.
Yeah, that could be, I think.
But I think too many times they try to put a specific agenda out there and advance that agenda. Either way, I mean, I've seen it on the left and I've seen it on the right.
Acceptance is a broad issue for kids. Parents will have to talk to their kids to make sure that the kids are clear or, you know,
but I think
become clear.
Before they need
topics.
To understand about homosexuality, I think they need to learn about bullying and not being that and how to be a good kid and a friend.
Okay.
You know, there's plenty of time to teach them about all the differences in the world sexually as they grow older.
All right, we have some good callers standing by. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we would just love to hear from you. This is a quick break, so stand by, folks. We will be right back. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Fabulouser, he could not be. That's Rob Center. And Joe McGranahan.
Less than fabulous.
Yeah, he does superlative in every way. Let's leave it at that. Dale, thanks for calling in. We got 2 minutes each for our good callers here. You are on the mark.
Yeah, I just think it's time for a modern party now. Republicans are telling the middle class that they need more money to help the welfare program for corporations, and the Democrats are telling the middle class that they need more money to sell this health care and drug program so they can stimulate everybody's morals. So I just say, it's just the middle class are being drugged through this and probably don't even care about either party, because what's happening is who pays for everything and who votes the most? The middle class. So I just say, I think it's time for a modern party. And who's coming on there? A good question to ask Fred is, who are the top 2 investors in Pennsylvania coming up? This way people have a glimpse of which way to vote, because both sides are snake oil. You know, corporate welfare and Medicare for all and health care for all. That's snake oil. Everybody got tasted that. I think everybody's done with that. So I think Fred would do everybody a favor in telling everybody, because I think once they just turn that law, 90 days before the election, they have to expose who the 2 biggest investors in their state election are.
So you want
I think that would do a favor for Pennsylvania residents. And they can see that which snake oil is coming our way.
Okay. So. You got it, buddy. Yeah. We'll definitely ask that question.
Snake oil out, yep.
Yep, thank you. All right, Dan, you're next up. Thanks for calling in.
2 minutes, Dan.
Good morning, guys. Why, my Democratic friends are going to get mad at me again, but last night after watching the debate, I still say Trump was the real winner again. I'll watch tonight, try to be less partial, but Trump keeps winning. Now he got funding for the wall down in Mexico, in the border wall. He got funding for that through the Supreme Court. And Trump just keeps right on winning single-handedly without much help from his own party or anyone else. So he's still the, for my sake, he's still winning by a lot. And they just don't have anything that excites me on the Democratic Party yet. I still think Biden will be the one they're going to run because he's not as far left. And they know if they run a far lefty, they're going to lose big time. America is not a leftist country. And by another great thing that happened under, so many things happened, but out in South Dakota, now the school system they passed a bill in the House and Senate. They can put in God We Trust as our motto in every school that we've used since 1956, and several other states are going to follow in their footsteps, mostly southern conservative states. So under Trump, everything's moving forward.
Okay. All right.
And that's great stuff. Sorry, and also Chris was right. I looked at Trumpy Bear, and he did have, it's made in China.
Oh.
Well, send
it
back
is made in China. I didn't, that MAGA hat I had, I gave away to a good friend, but I don't know. Maybe Chris is right on that, so I have to eat crow. I just wish things like that were made in America, but I guess Trump goes for the best price.
Why don't you just eat the bear, Dan, instead of crow?
Yeah. Well, it might be a little hard eating. It's pretty stuffy.
Okay.
Well, as opposed to crow, which couldn't be very tasty either. So.
Anyway, moving on.
It wouldn't be very good, but nevertheless, he perks his head up when he sees his daddy on television.
Oh, brother. Okay.
Yeah.
On that note, Dan, have a good day, buddy.
You have a great one, my friend. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Mike, go right ahead, please. You're on the mark.
Well, I watched the debate last night quite a bit, and what I saw was a lot of people offering ideas to solve problems, make things better. And I'd just like to tell the people, like here in Bloomsburg, when you listen to these people say they're going to solve all your problems, think about how our government here in Bloomsburg shot down flood control. And with each successive flood now, the lower end of town is becoming more degraded and more, houses are being torn down, the tax base is being eroded. So we didn't do good here in Bloomsburg. Here in Pennsylvania, property owners have been told, gambling, casinos, lottery, all these things were going to be the panacea to keep people from losing their, especially older people from losing their homes because of skyrocketing property tax rates. How'd that work out for us? Not very well. On a national level, with each tax, I'm 64 years old. Over my life, I've heard government say, we're going to solve Social Security, we're going to solve the Medicare problem, we're just going to raise these taxes and that's going to fix it. Well, what are we up to? $1.4 trillion in debt this year? And none of these things have worked. Now, people are trying, but the bottom line is what I heard last night was a bunch of people saying, you put your faith in us instead of the people. You put your faith in us, and we will fix everything. That's not going to work. And there was one guy on there that tried to say, that's not going to work, and it didn't work out well for him in the debate last night. So the only thing I can say is don't get all wrapped up in all the emotion of this race, and don't be drawn in by how many times somebody can say racist. Kind of look at the past and predict how the future is going to be based on the politicians and maybe hold them responsible. And finally, I've always been against term limits, but I'm willing to try anything right now, and I'm thinking that maybe term limits might be a way for the American people to get more control of their government. Because it's wrought with waste. We hear time after time money that's being wasted, millions and millions, if not billions of dollars that's wasted through corruption and graft. And we're paying more and more and getting less and less as far as I'm concerned.
How would term limits help that? I mean, you're just look at Tom Marino. It wasn't, what was there, 6 years and didn't help anything?
Was there a lot
of that? Well, here's why I say that.
8 years.
Because everything else we've tried has not worked. And that's the one thing that I've heard people talk about. And I'm willing to try anything other than throwing all the power over to the left.
Well, no, I don't think that would be a solution. Okay. All right. Noted. Well, thank you very much.
That would be a worse problem.
Well, or the same, only different. All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call.
You're welcome. Take care now.
Appreciate folks for
checking in. If it's different, how can it be the same?
Anyway, 1-800-795-9565 will be the telephone number. We're going to have House Member Fred Keller here, U.S. House of Congress, I should say, House of Representatives. And we'll talk about important issues and divisive politics. He voted no on the big budget bill, which has not yet been signed yet, has it? I don't think so.
Well, I can't imagine the president won't sign it.
Well, no, he probably will, but I'm sure conservative Republicans are going to be upset.
Doesn't he have 10 days to sign it, or it becomes law without a signature, unless he's specifically vetoes it?
I don't know. You'd almost have to have a congressman handy to ask that. So we'll do that. One of our listeners sent us a question for the congressman, so we'll put that to him today as well. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK. We will be right back on WDKOK's On the Mark.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We are going to be taking calls momentarily. We're glad to say that Frederick, what's your middle name?
The letter is B.
B. Frederick B.
Hey,
Keller,
Mark,
U.S. Congressman.
I don't get called Frederick by many people. Probably my wife when I'm in trouble or something.
Frederick?
Yeah, when you were a little boy. Frederick, behave yourself.
It wasn't Freddie then. I know that.
Anyway, it's Congressman, United States Congressman Fred Keller from the 12th Congressional District of Pennsylvania.
It's Fred Keller, resident of Central Pennsylvania.
Right.
Still live in Cramer? You didn't move to Washington yet?
I live in Cramer and intend to live in Cramer for a very, very long time.
Fabulous. I know your daughter. She's working here. Am I right?
She's interning here, yes. Thank
interning,
you for that
for
that opportunity. Yes, her graduation is on August 10th from Penn State World Campus.
Okay.
So now you're in Washington, Fred.
No,
how do you like it?
We're in Snyder County.
I meant you are spending a considerable part of your time in Washington, D.C. How are you finding your early days in the United States Congress?
Well, the one thing I guess I want to say is, I'm finding it very rewarding in the fact that the people of Pennsylvania's 12th Congressional District are so great and, really wonderful across the district. And we'll talk about that in a little bit as far as our work we're doing here in the district. But in D.C., find the same thing. People are helpful. There's a lot of debate and a lot of things going on. And it's a shame that you always see the negative aspect of things and maybe not always there's not as much light put on the positive things and how people interact positively.
There is positive interaction?
Yeah, I was just going to say, in Washington?
Yes, there is. I mean, I think what we see is the way we get our information now. And, to get someone's attention, people tend to be more dramatic in what they do or post or say, and I think that gets the attention because people we're not in a news cycle where people read the paper, they look at the evening news or thing, they get their news differently, And I think to try and get the attention of people, some individuals do things that are maybe a little outrageous. And
so you're accentuating the positive, but the president isn't. You know, he picks out his favorite enemies and has all kinds of derogatory things. Joe and I were just talking about divisiveness.
I wouldn't put all the blame on one person. I mean, there's a group of people that have taken over and gotten out ahead of the speaker. And have posted some things and done some things. But really, I don't want to focus on those items. I don't think the people of PA-12 want me to focus on that. They want me to focus on things that are going to improve their lives.
No vote on the big congressional budget bill that went through. Compromised is an excellent term for it. You said
and
no.
And raising
on that.
The debt limit. Don't forget that part of it.
It increased the debt limit. It got rid of the caps that went in place, the mandatory spending caps through 2021 that were in place. So it eliminated those, any kind of strength that there was.
It's the very opposite of a Fred Keller budget.
Well, you know, Mark, this is what I tell people. When you look at it, I mean, by 2029, and this is from the Congressional Budget Office, and I always like, as you know, like to cite my sources and let people know where the information's coming from. It's going to be 97%. Our debt will be 97% of GDP by 2029. And, you know, when you look at that and you couple it upon you know, the $1.7 billion in additional spending over that 10-year period. And the fact that by 2024, the Congressional Budget Office says, well, we will spend more on interest than we spend on defense spending. I think that, you know, with our economy is going as well as it's going, with unemployment as low as it is, there's some things I think we could have looked at in this budget to show a little restraint. And having been in private industry, and knowing that my expenditures couldn't exceed my revenues, and having been in Harrisburg fighting for fiscal responsibility for 8.5 years, I promised people I wasn't going to change. And I couldn't find enough positives and offsets in this budget to say I really need to support that.
Well, let's look at that problem for a minute. The federal government has been kicking the can down the road about doing something about the national debt for as long as I can remember. Is there any serious effort to address it long-term? I mean, we can't let it keep growing and eventually eclipse the GDP.
Or can we?
Well, I think there's a lot of things you need to look at there, and some of what needs to happen and what we look at. And again, I commend the president for one thing here. That's probably the best deal he was going to get. You know, although I disagree with it, you know, the president probably wasn't going to get a better deal. The longer it went on, if there would have been any kind of shutdown or anything else, the president probably wouldn't have gotten a better deal. What needs to happen is we need to send more people to Congress. They're going to stop the partisan investigations and all these other things when the attorney general says, hey, there's no collusion. When the Mueller report says there's, you know, no indictments. No, let's move on and start working on other items and move forth legislation that really is beneficial, creating jobs, building our infrastructure, doing all those kind of things that the people of Pennsylvania's 12th Congressional District sent me to Washington, D.C. to work on.
Well, we can't blame you for this, Fred, but the president...
Well, good. I'm glad you can't.
Well, give us time. When the president proposed and got through the Congress his tax cut bill, he said that eventually it would lead to a reduction of the national debt, that the economy would be spurred, all this money would be generated, and things would get better. But they're not getting better. Then the debt is going bigger and bigger.
But, Joe, let's take a look at this. The economy is going better.
No argument there.
The problem is we have a speaker that doesn't bring things to a vote that would actually help build upon those successes, and we're concerned with investigations. You know, having Special Counsel Mueller come in and do investigations. We're worried about impeachment. We're worried about all these things where there's no evidence that anything was done wrong, but that's the only thing that some people are hanging on to rather than doing other things. I think that if the president had a Congress, had a House that had people in it and that would move forward other things, we'd see progress in that. But quite frankly, I think this is the best deal the president was going to get based upon the current makeup of the House of Representatives.
It's a compromise. Yeah, there's no argument about that. It does have some increases in funding in it. No border wall funding per se, but has an increase in defense spending, and that's where the president is extracting wall money.
Well, yeah, I think there's authority for the president to use some money from this budget to secure our southern border. And, you know, that's a thing that I support. I support making sure that we reform our immigration laws. You know, there's things that we can do for people that, you know, visas and so forth. And in fact, we did pass some legislation allowing some trained workers to come in if there weren't enough from a place, so we'll say like Iceland, if there weren't enough from Iceland, that they could come in from another country. So we did some things there. It's just a matter of let's not focus on these things in the rearview mirror that have already been settled by a special counsel and the attorney general, and let's move forward. I mean, we had hearings and oversight dealing with subpoenaing Jared Kushner's and Ivanka Trump's personal phone records. Now, let's move on and get some things done rather than try and find. It's not about the. I think a lot of things are happening against the executive branch of our federal government simply because the person that occupies the White House. Not because the policies are any different, because a lot of the policies that the president is doing at the border were the same policies that President Obama was doing. It's just a matter of who occupies the White House. And we need to get beyond that.
But Congress does have oversight authority over the administration. Are they wrong to exercise that?
I think if you can say that there's something that was done wrong, yes, we absolutely have oversight. But, Joe, if there's nothing that's been done wrong, let's take a look at something that we can fix and improve on.
So they're just investigating. Did you watch the Robert Mueller testimony or listen to it on the radio here?
Well, I didn't get to watch or see all of it because I was in an oversight hearing. That was in judiciary.
Doing actual government progress.
So okay. Again, I saw parts of it, and I know people that did watch it, so that if anything came out of it that we should know about or look into, we could do that. But me having sat there and gone down and sat in the audience at the Mueller hearings, we actually had other committee work to work on that actually, quite frankly, would work on, not particularly in that one, but in the Education and Labor Committee, trying to work on things that would improve things for job training and so on.
Well, you mentioned that the Speaker won't bring up bills that you say would benefit the country. The charge is made in the Senate that Mitch McConnell won't bring up bills that would also protect us and serve to boost the economy. How do we conquer this political infighting that seems to be stopping progress?
Well, I think Mitch McConnell, and I'll give an example of Mitch McConnell that got a bill done, which was the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization. I mean, we got that done. Speaker Pelosi wasn't going to bring that up in the House until she got forced to by her own, by the reasonable people in the Democrat caucus. I mean, she wasn't going to bring that up. And actually, I'll commend the Senate for sending over a bill that had 84 or 86, I forget what it was, 84 or 86 senators voted yes on it. And that's a time when the Speaker's own people, I think some actually people accuse the Speaker of, you know, delaying things from her own party. So it's not just me saying that. It's people from that side of the aisle that, you know, she had to be forced to bring that up.
Not directly related to the Robert Mueller investigation, but one of our listeners says, I'd like to know why Mr. Keller voted against a Democratic bill, the H.R. 2722. It had to keep paper ballots and keep attacks from Russia and House Bill 3555 that would fund veterans' health care. Okay, so let's take the first one, the H.R. 2722. Tell us about that bill. You voted no on it, but why and what else was in it? Not just these things, I'm sure.
Okay, well the thing you need to look at with any bill that we have, there's a lot of amendments to go on to a bill. And in D.C., things are a little different than they are at the state level. You know, it's not just one thing that's in that bill. There's multiple items that are in it. With the voter bill, elections and how they're conducted as far as voting machines and so forth are state issues. And I just didn't think at that point in time we, the federal government, should be putting unfunded mandates to that, you know, down on the states. So looking at that one, that was one that I think we should really leave up to the states. And I know that Snyder County commissioners did vote to do some things. But right. I wasn't going to, from Washington, tell Snyder County or anybody else how they had to run their elections.
All right. And then the 3555 House bill. I'm not familiar with that personally.
I think there's probably an extra number in that.
Maybe an extra five? Okay.
I don't know. But again, when you're looking at all the things that these do for veterans and so on, you have to look at the whole thing. And there's some items in there that actually would have been been a hindrance to getting some care to some people. So that's really what it is. And if anybody has a specific on a bill that's that large, I'd be more than happy if they get a hold of our office and we can do it. But I just want to say those bills, when we looked at the whole thing and all the amendments that get put onto those, the underlying bill might be a great idea, but then when you look at some of the items that go along with it that create barriers and create some issues, you know, then you make a decision. Does it...
These would be unrelated sort of riders or amendments?
Yeah, it could be something that's related to it, or you know, but it just simply creates more of an issue than a benefit.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. U.S. Congressman Fred Keller is here from Cramer, PA, and he is doing a summer recess listening tour. I know you're going all over your district. We see you're going to be up in Troy at some point here in the weeks or in the days ahead, or maybe even in the hours ahead, so we can talk about that. But if you have a question for him, call us now, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. That's our toll-free line. You can call that. You can text us at 70236 or email us at onthemarketwkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. U.S. Congressman Fred Keller is here. Call us immediately. Open lines 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com or text us at 70236. I have a question for you.
But I go first.
Joe.
Last night...
Bob's on the phone.
Yeah, we'll get to Bob. Last night in the Democratic debate, we heard a lot about health care and whether or not Medicare for All or modifying Obamacare is something the Democrats want us to consider. Why is there no Republican health care plan being advanced? I've looked for one. I can't find one. Have you encountered anything like that in Washington?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion. And I think the first thing we want to do, and there's actually legislation out there to protect pre-existing conditions that the Speaker hasn't moved. Okay, so we have legislation to protect pre-existing conditions. There's also been a lot of discussion and talk about health savings accounts that employers can put money in to help employees purchase a plan that would fit their needs, plans that would be able to have employers pool together and purchase insurance for their employees rather than just a single employer plan. There's been a lot of things put together, but again, until the Democrats are ready to get done with all this other stuff and get serious about moving items that are important to, you know, and let's stop the investigations that we've already been told. We had the Mueller investigation. Now we had Mueller hearings. We have all this stuff. And until people are ready to put that aside, I mean, if there was something there, then we could get to it. But everybody has said there's not. So let's put that aside and not worry about whether one side's winning or the other side's winning, but let's make sure the people of America are winning.
But if the Republicans have a plan, Fred, why aren't they advancing it? Why aren't they out in the street corner saying, here is what we believe will actually work? The Democrats are doing that. They're espousing their particular view of what's going to work and what won't.
No, the Democrats are simply saying, we're going to change who pays the bill. That's what the Democrats are saying. They're talking about covering people, having people covered with insurance, Joe. Coverage is not care. Okay, really, if we want to talk about what real care is, we can talk about that. But they're saying so many people are not covered with a health insurance plan. Joe, I could cover everybody with an auto insurance policy, and the deductible's $500,000. That's going to be pretty useless to most people, okay? So if we want to talk about making sure people have care, we're covering pre-existing conditions, there are plenty of people in Washington, D.C. I've been in several work groups where we've discussed this, and we just need to make sure that we get down to those issues rather than focusing on things that have already been proven that there hasn't been any collusion, there hasn't been any obstruction, there hasn't been any of these things. Yet there are people that are still fixated on that. They want to impeach the president over those things rather than discussing exactly what you want to talk about.
So we cannot advance a health care bill until and unless all of that is resolved.
Well, there's things right before the speaker that we can't advance. I mean, there's things that we... The speaker is in control of what gets brought up before the House. And quite frankly, I think she's lost some of that control to some of the members of her caucus, because a lot of the presidential candidates are trying to compete with what some of those people.
She says they're like a big happy family. They don't always all get along.
Okay. And again, I'm not going to get into that. I'm simply going to say until we start seeing things get on the calendar that we can advance in the voting schedule, that we can advance things that we agree on. Infrastructure. Okay. That shouldn't be an issue. Let's put together an infrastructure package that will create jobs and
step back. Snyder County resident. Now you're in Washington, D.C. My perspective is that it's all bad. It's dysfunctional. Once you go in the Beltway, you get sucked into the vortex. That removes brain matter, and that takes care of that.
Is there a question in there?
What's your impression?
Sorry, I don't do impressions.
Thank you. I had to do that.
I got that answer earlier.
What's your reaction to what you see? You've been there, a month and a half now.
I think it's with any organization or any legislative body, you're going to have people that agree and disagree. You're going to have people that want to work together, want to get things done, and you're probably going to have some people to detract. And, I want to focus on the positive things.
Dysfunction.
Well.
Is it? That's what I see.
Well, on certain areas, and quite frankly, from the Democrat caucus and bringing things up, yeah, quite frankly, again, I don't know how many times I can say, where it's been proven, there's been nothing done inappropriately.
Right.
Let's move on. And
Mitch McConnell not part of the dysfunction?
Well, I'm going to say I'm not over in the Senate, so I'm not privy to some of the discussions that they're having, within their conference and their caucus. So I'm going to focus on where we are. I know Leader McCarthy has done a good job of saying how we need to make sure that we put forth ideas and work on things that are going to help people. I agree with that, and I think the leader, has been doing a good job leading our conference and advocating for those things we need to get done. And that's why we got the NDAA done. You can't blame Mitch McConnell for that one. I mean, he got that done.
He
forced Nancy Pelosi to get the NDAA done, which is the National Defense Authorization Act.
All right, Washington's in terrible condition, but you're going to help make things better. How?
Well, we are... Well, I'm going to represent the people of Pennsylvania's 12th Congressional District. And this is our August is our work month that we get around the district. And we have a lot of plans. I mean, we're here today. We're touring the thruway. We're going to be in Mifflin County with the Industrial Development Corporation. We were with the county commissioners in Potter County yesterday, touring businesses in Potter County and downtown. We were in Tunkhannock last Friday. We're going to be all over Pennsylvania's 12th Congressional District, listening to what's on people's minds, putting that all together. We're touring Evan Hospital later this week, and we're going to be talking with the folks there. So we're talking about health care. We're talking to county commissioners. We're talking to businesses. We're talking to chambers of commerce. We've had meetings with students. We're doing all those things so that when we get back to Washington, D.C., we can take that and, being on the Education and Labor Committee, put some of these things into action that will improve our economy, job readiness, all those things that we need to get working on. And that's what I'm focusing on.
Well, you had to spend a lot of time dealing with state issues and all of a sudden forget about those and move to federal issues. But what about border security, Fred? I mean, we keep hearing the fact that no one can get together and work in this. Everybody admits there's a problem. The Democrats say the Republican president manufactured it at the border. Then some of them, even President Obama's own cabinet appointees, are saying there's a problem at the border. How do we solve it? And is there any real desire to solve it, or is it just a political wedge issue everybody wants to use to beat the other guy over the head with?
Well, I'm not going to ascribe motive to anybody, okay? Why they're doing what they're doing or saying things. A lot of the policies that President Trump is doing were the same policies that were in place over the Obama administration. These intake centers, that everybody's saying are so horrible, were the same ones that President Obama used. President Obama sent people back to their country.
Right, but what's going to fix them?
Well, what's going to fix it is first that we all look at it and stop focusing on, the only difference here is some people don't like the person that's in the White House. And we need to get beyond that kind of behavior and say, okay, this is the issue. Let's focus on the issue and not an individual. And we spent too much time over the last 3 years, and the Democrats have done that, focusing on the individual simply because it's Donald J. Trump, President of the United States. We've had people that say that refuse to call him the President of the United States. That is a problem. They call him the occupant of the White House. That's where the problem is. You know, whenever I've done anything, and you guys know this, it's always been Governor Wolf or Governor Corbett or President Obama or President Trump. You know, let's get beyond attacking the individual, and let's work on the issues. So border security, there are things that need to be done. There have been plans put forward, and we need to make sure that we give the president the tools that are needed. And the president isn't asking for these tools. Who's asking for these tools? And that was in the supplemental that we did for the border security. You know, we had to do some of this stuff to fund our Customs and Border Patrol. That was the thing, too, that was forced through by the Senate to make sure it got done. So when we look at this, we need to give the people on the ground that are doing these jobs, taking care of the individuals that are showing up at our border, and give them the tools they need to do their job, and stop trying to make the people that are enforcing our laws passed by Congress out to be people that aren't doing what they should be doing.
But you mentioned the president is being unfairly attacked in all of this, but that's not going to change. This is a presidential election year coming up. I mean, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse.
But, Joe, I think you'd have to admit that this president's been attacked probably, and I don't know if he's been attacked worse than any other president, but the way we get our news is much different. And I think that adds a different dynamic to what we see when Mark talks about the dysfunction. I think the way we get our news and how drastically that's changed, even over the last 10 years, really is a factor of what you're seeing. I think sometimes people really had some of these discussions, but it's at a different level now, because I think people, when they're tweeting and doing those kinds of things, you know, they're trying to get the most sensational thing so somebody pays attention to their post or their idea.
All right, we have a caller on the Bobby, are you there? You're on the line, or you're on the air.
Yes, I have a question for Fred. Okay, like for our district and that, as far as the voting machines and paper ballot backup, was that starting with the local issue, or was that considered with other states also?
Well, in Pennsylvania, and again, I think this boils down to more of a state issue, because there was a lawsuit in Pennsylvania that Jill Stein brought against the Commonwealth, and there was the decision, and I think that's what the governor, Governor Wolf, is trying to implement when he talks about having the paper trail. So, you know, elections and conducting the elections actually falls to the states and the counties to do that. And so having the counties have to buy election equipment or update their election equipment in Pennsylvania is, and some of that's due to the court case that came through the Stein decision, excuse me.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
All right.
Are you happy with the committees you got assigned to, Fred?
Actually, I thought we did very well with the committees. Our first expectation when we were going to go there was we wouldn't get committees that had a good that had this scope of coverage. Really pleased with education and labor, but we had to make the case for that. You know, our team, you know, Jason Gossman's here with us. He's our communications director. John Anz, our chief of staff, and our entire team, we put together a plan to make the case on why I should be on these committees. And they have what they have is a steering committee, which is a group of reps in the leader's office and the whip's office. And we met with the people, and we really made the case. One, the work I've done, my background, getting to Washington, D.C., and then also the fact of the makeup of our district and the things that are important in our district. And when you look at the educational institutions we have, you know, you have Penn State, and you have Bucknell and Susquehanna and Penn College, and then you have Mansfield and Lock Haven Universities, Juniata College, and Lycoming. I want to make sure I cover
Penn
all of them.
Lycoming College.
Penn, and you have Lycoming College in Williamsport. So you have all those educational institutions that make sense. You know, are the manufacturing base that we have here in PA 12. You know, it's heavy in Snyder County to construction and, you know, modular homes and lumber and that kind of stuff. But then you get into Williamsport, we have more of the gas industry and there's a lot of things. So there's some defense contractors up in the Northeast, you know, Tunkhannock, and you get into places. We toured Red Rock, and that's a vocational school that is it's really great. We toured that and saw what some of the high school kids, they're actually, I'll say, 16 to, you know, 20 some years old, that are learning trades and getting high school diplomas and stuff. A lot of help out there. So those are some of the things.
I've been there.
Yes, it's a great place, isn't it, Mark? I think it used to be an Air Force.
I don't know. Is the radar dish still there?
It's still there. I don't know if it's functional or not.
No, I don't think so.
They had an old bomb shelter there too that had the little fallout sign on there.
You go to Ricketts Glen and you just keep on going.
So no, but they do a lot of good work there. But I think advocating for the committees that we got, I think the team did a good job putting that all together.
So what's your plan after you go back to Washington?
It has to be a very short plan.
What do you want to work on?
Well, again, we want to work on the job training, job readiness, those kind of things for the jobs that are available here, and making sure we can get qualified labor matched up to those positions that are available. Infrastructure, broadband, and also most importantly, our veterans, making sure they get the care they deserve.
Come and visit us again. We know you got more tours to do today and other places to see, but thanks for coming in. You're welcome back anytime.
And we miss seeing you at transportation.
Well, I'll get there whenever I can.
Well, you'll be there occasionally.
I thank you to the people of Pennsylvania's 12th.
This is WKOK San Marino.